RadioInfluence.com.
He got him in the white trunks. He heard him.
That's beautiful. Oh, God. That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top. Whoa. And here's Vegas and Mitchell. And it's all over. It's nice. All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. I am Jason Floyd, and this edition of the podcast will feature four fighters who are going to be part of Thursday's Bellator 249, which, of course, will take place from the Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut. You're going to hear from three fighters that will be a part of the preliminary card and one fighter that will be a part of the main card. The first conversation you're going to hear that I will play for you will be with Joe Schilling, who's going to be taking on Curtis Millender in a middleweight matchup. That should be an absolute banger of a matchup. Looking forward to watching those two go at it. Should be a really fun fight to watch. Then you're going to hear my conversation with Syed Awad, who's going to be kicking off the main card broadcast on the CBS Sports Network, as he's going to be taking on Mandel Nello, lightweight matchup. Of course, we've seen Syed kind of bounce between lightweight and welterweight. This one will be at lightweight. So you hear my conversation with Syed Awad. And then the final two interviews on this edition of the MMA Report podcast will be two fighters. They'll be fighting each other on the preliminary card. And that was Kyle Crutchmere and Cameron Lachinoff. I had a chance to talk to both of those fighters. I talked to Cameron before I talked to Kyle, and Kyle has definitely seen some of the interviews that the Cameron has done leading up to this matchup. So that is definitely an interesting matchup at 170 pounds. Of course, we look up and down this fight card as I record this podcast here, just for 1 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, a rare Sunday at home for me during the football season, since Tampa Bay Buccaneers played on Thursday night. So literally, as I sit here in my home office, I've got one screen set up on Red Zone. I got one screen set up on NFL Network, and I'll be watching a bunch of NFL here at the house here on Sunday. But I am here right now to talk about Bellator 249. Of course, main card going to be headlined by Chris Cyborg defending, making her first Bellator featherweight title defense, as she is challenged by Arlene Blanco. Co-main event, you got Patricky Pitbull taking on Jaleel Willis. Jaleel Willis is one of the recent signings of Bellator. I talked about it last week on the podcast of where, you know, I really like what Bellator is doing, and you know, interesting to kind of see how Jaleel Willis can do against Patricky Pitbull. Jaleel Willis coming out of that Memphis, Tennessee-ish area regional scene. We've seen him in LFA, so that was a really good signing. Also, we got Ricky Bandejas versus Leandro Higo. Kind of interesting to see whoever wins that matchup. I think the winner of that fight does make a lot of sense for potentially being their next matchup being against James Gallagher. Of course, we saw a week and a half ago. Great performance that James Gallagher had there in Italy. When I look at the preliminary card, some of the other matchups that do stick out to me, that do interest me, Steve Mowry taking on Sean Teague. Sean Teague coming in one of those new Bellator signings. Steve Mowry, of course, been in Bellator for some time. Also, Christian Edwards, the undefeated prospect, light heavyweight prospect out of Jackson Wink, as he looks to go to 4-0. Mike Kimball is on this card as well, taking on Damon Blackshear. Logan Neal, who is out of Tennessee, he's 1-0 his career. I actually may be talking to him early on this week, so be on the lookout that for on the MMAReport.com. But overall, a really good fight card that I'm looking forward to seeing here on Thursday night. And obviously, all the talk of this fight card will definitely be about Chris Cyborg and how much of a test will this be with Arlene Blanco. I mean, Arlene is, right when Chris won that title, she wanted this fight, and so it'll be interesting to see. I think Bellator is going to be in kind of the same situation that the UFC was with Chris Cyborg, is finding opponents for her. And I think there's a couple of matchups that Bellator's got potentially lined up for Chris Cyborg, but definitely interested to see how Chris Cyborg does perform here on Thursday night. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Joe Schilling. I had a great chance to catch up with Joe. In the course of this conversation, we talked about, he talked about the fact of the last 6 months, during this, obviously this, the pandemic world that we're all living in, about how really he's been focusing on his wrestling and jiu-jitsu, started working with Eddie Bravo. He talked about how that relationship came together. And also, I thought, you know, one of the things that, you know, he talked about Curtis Milner and of course, seeing some of the things that Curtis has said on social media. But also, I thought one of the more interesting things that, Joe Schilling talked about is, you know, about how he's dropped the ball in MMA to this point. Hey, Joe, appreciate you taking some time out of, your day. I know it's kind of a crazy world 1 week out from the fight here, but obviously we haven't seen you in a year, and we all know what our world has been. How would you describe 2020 for yourself?
2020 ain't fucking around. That's how to describe it. Yeah, I don't know. 2020 has been crazy. Seems like bad news after bad news for the world living. But yeah, it's been all right for me, yes.
I remember when all this kind of, you know, started. I remember having a conversation with James Krause, and his message to everyone in his gym was, you know what? You can't control that there's no fights. You know, we just got to sit and wait until there's fights up, but use this time to level up. How would you say you've used the additional time to level up?
I've been focused on a lot of my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu over the last 6 months, and got definitely leveled up in that. I feel like a completely different fighter on the ground and just my overall awareness. So that note has been really good for me.
You had an Instagram post, I guess about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, of, you know, it was the 7 year anniversary of when you won the Glory tournament, and you mentioned about how that's changed your life dramatically. As you think about where you were as a combat sports fighter at that moment to where you're at now, what would you say is the biggest difference in yourself?
I think confidence. Confidence is probably the biggest difference. I think that night I proved to myself what I was capable of. And then, with that came, you know, notoriety and money, I suppose. But overall, I got a lot of experience and a lot of confidence in my ability that night.
You know, we've seen you in the corner of Daniel Rodriguez for the fights in Vegas during this pandemic time, and understanding what kind of fight week is in our current world. Is there anything you'll take from that experience and maybe alter how you prepare yourself as the fighter in this aspect during fight week?
Not really. You know, fight week's always kind of the same. Even with all the COVID stuff that's going on, it's like you get tested in the morning, but it's still like sitting around in a hotel room cutting weight. So it's pretty much business as usual for me.
I know in talking to the commission up at Mohegan, they have, you know, talked about the fact of, you know, I mean, they're doing everything they can to help you guys out of, you know, obviously there's a quarantine you got to go through, but, you know, in terms of kind of, does it make it more of a business trip because it's just you and your team and literally there's zero distractions?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I've always kind of run it that way anyway. You know, I'm not really one to do a whole lot fight week anyway. Like I said, it seems kind of normal to me. The fighting in front of no crowd is going to be a little different, but you know I've done that even when I was an amateur. So I think overall, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really comfortable. I'm just really grateful to have the opportunity to be able to fight.
Some fighters have said they've enjoyed the fact of not having a crowd, but then others say I feed off the crowd. Where do you kind of fit in that?
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent by it, you know. There's never really a crowd at the gym when you're training, when you're sparring, when you're getting all that work in. I think it'll be a benefit to the ability to be able to hear your coaches and during the fight and whatnot. So I think it'll be more of a benefit. You know, I don't really feed off the crowd too much, I don't think.
When this fight was announced, I think one of my initial thoughts was, man, that's going to be a banger of a fight. You know, everyone knows what you can do on the feet. Everyone knows what Curtis has done on the feet. I mean, and yes, he struggled on the ground. What kind of got you excited about this fight when Bellator approached you?
You know, just another fight to me. I had nothing really overly exciting about it. I didn't know who Curtis was. Don't know a whole lot about him. I watched some of his fights. Yeah, it seems like a good matchup for me. Seems a little small for that weight class, but he online seems very, 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 very confident in himself. So we'll find out on September 15th.
Has there been something you've seen online that kind of just made you kind of go, okay, all right, all right, we'll see on October 15th. I mean, has there been anything along those lines?
He likes to talk, I guess, and talk about himself, I guess. It hasn't been a whole lot directed toward me. He sent me like an Instagram story the other day of some dumb shit or whatever, but I think I just see Curtis as a guy that for himself, he's trying to like make a name, so he's like going out of his way to like say shit, and I guess that's what buddy got to do in this day and age, but not something I get too worked up about or whatever.
Obviously, everyone knows your abilities, they know your name, but do you kind of feel like people underestimate your abilities at all?
I feel like I still have a lot to prove in MMA. I think I have a great fan base that has stood by me and always tunes in and you know, supports me, but I think I've dropped the ball in MMA quite a bit. That's why I really started focusing on my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu over the last 6-8 months or so, and I feel like I have a lot to prove still. I think everybody knows that I'm a dog and that I'm going to be an exciting fight, but I think people want to start seeing some W's, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
I know I saw just a little while ago you put a picture of you working with Eddie Bravo. What is there something, a piece of advice Eddie has given you that just sticks to you every day?
Good question. Eddie says a lot of shit. Eddie and I, we met through one of D-Rod's fights. We'd always known each other, like, of each other, and, like, kind of been in the same circles, but never really, like, chopped it up. And one of D-Rod's fights, we were in the same corner, and we ended up staying in the same room for that week, and we really hit it off. I really like Eddie a lot. He's helped me tremendously with my ground game. I think I'm very grateful for what he's taught me, but... I guess just getting the reps in. He says it all the time, you know, it's just basic math. That's all it is. It's just simple math. You put reps in. How many reps can you put in today? How many reps can you put in this week, next month? And, it's starting to work, for sure. I guess my reps are getting high.
Is your hope to get in another fight before this year ends? Or is your thought of, this is probably the only fight I'll get in 2020?
I'd like to fight as often as possible. I haven't put too much thought into that, but... the last 2 years have been rough for me as far as time off. You know, it was a 1 year break with Bellator. We were going through some negotiations and stuff. And that was like a year between fights. And then last year, it was October last year that I fought. So I'm not getting any younger. I definitely want to stay as active as possible.
And there was my conversation with Joe Schilling. I really appreciate him coming on the podcast, talking about his matchup against Curtis Millender coming up here on Thursday night. I mean, that should be a banger of a fight. Obviously, we both know the striking abilities that Joe obviously has. And Curtis Millender is a striker. You know, when you look at the weakness of Curtis, and we saw it in his last fight, against Sabah Hamasi, it was the takedown aspect of when he was unable to get back to his feet. So I think that this is a fight that you would expect to play out on the feet. But I mean, look, when you hear Joe Schilling talk about how much he's been working on his wrestling and jiu-jitsu, that does kind of make you wonder, maybe could we see Joe Schilling go that route? And obviously, Joe Schilling, you talk about fighters that Bellator has under contract that you say, when this fighter is fighting, you want to watch them fight. Joe Schilling is one of those guys. Michael Page, obviously, is a guy that tops that list. So, saw him get the win there on Saturday, and kind of an interesting fight. Clear Michael Page win, but definitely not a fight that you saw going. And I thought John McCarthy was really excellent on the broadcast in that second round, where you could see that a good part of that second round, Michael Page wasn't kind of that freestyling Michael Page that we've seen. And John McCarthy mentioned, like, hey, he realizes the type of opponent he's in there with. So, to me, when I look at reasons to watch the preliminary card, Schilling Millender to me is the number one reason to watch that card. Should be a hell of a fight. Now, next up, you're going to hear my conversation with Syed Awad, who's going to be kicking off the main card in a lightweight matchup, taking on Mandel Nello. And, of course, Syed, a long time. When you talk about Bellator veteran, he's one of those guys that you talk about. I mean, obviously, you talk about the Pitbull Prayers, but, I mean, Syed Awad has been there for majority of the time there very early on in Bellator, and then he came back, and of course now to as he's bounced between lightweight and welterweight. And during this course of my conversation with Syed Awad, he talked about how COVID affected his training, being a California resident. Also, talked a lot about Mandel Nello. He talked about how he's a good striker, but also mentioned about how he controls the fight without throwing much.
Syed, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Obviously, it's almost been one calendar year since you've been in competition, man. So how do you describe the last 12 months?
I mean, I'm pretty sure the last 12 months have been crazy for everyone, or last 8 months or whatever it was. But it's been a roller coaster, man, because I was actually scheduled a fight back in May. And I was training for that fight. And then, you know, about 3 weeks into it, I got the call that that everybody got, that everything was starting to get shut down, and they had to pull that fight. So they said they're going to reschedule as soon as things open back up. They went to reschedule it, and then I got a bad eye injury, and so I had to pull from it, and then now I'm here with a different opponent.
In terms of, like you mentioned about, obviously we've all been affected by COVID one way or another, depending on, especially on what part of the country you may live in. You being in California, how did that affect your training life?
You know what? When it first happened, everything got closed down. I mean, everything's still kind of pretty much closed. They barely started opening it back up, but everything got closed down where everybody was afraid and not knowing what was going on. And I just, you know, I'm reluctant to have a home gym where I stuck to my cardio, stuck to my my lifting and my strength and conditioning. And then my coach went and kind of backdoored the gym for us. So all the pros and a lot of the amateurs still showed up. We still got our training in, just like it was, like it never closed. So we kept training throughout this time because California, man, they closed everything down. They wanted to keep everything closed down. They're making it as hard as possible. So we're literally parking like down the street and sneaking in the back door to train.
That's crazy. I mean, I know we all kind of, I guess, look more at the negatives than we do about the positives, about kind of, you know, just in kind of how our world has changed. As you look at the positives aspects of the past, you know, 4 or 5 months, what comes to mind for you?
I don't know what positive there is to talk about. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I guess people are washing their hands more and being more careful and cleaning more. You know what I mean? So, but I don't know what more positive there is that you can pull out of this. I mean, I always try to look at the positive in every situation, but I mean, for this situation, I mean, the positive that I really, really got from it was, you know, I got to spend more time with my kids. I got to spend more time at home. You know, I was, I don't work, you know, I don't have a 9-to-5. My 9-to-5 is my training. So I kind of still went to training and stuff, but for the most part, we couldn't really do anything. And my daughter couldn't go to daycare, so she was home with us the whole time. So it's kind of cool. I mean, that part, that's the positive that I got out of it. I spent more time with my kids. You know, they grew a little bit. You know, kids grow like crazy in, you know, a month time. So in the past however many months, they both grew. And, yeah, it was cool spending more time with them.
I've had some other fighters say to me that they kind of use this time as to more self-analyze, you know, their game and, you know, look back at their previous fights and maybe pick apart what they did well, what they did too well, maybe look at some other fighters and say, how can I incorporate that in my game? Did you find yourself in that same type of scenario?
I do that all the time, man, to be honest. I've done that from the beginning of my career and till now. So that's one thing I've always done. I've always go back. I always go watch tape. I always try to watch tape on fights that I lose. You know what I mean? And it's always good to watch yourself win a fight, you know, but I always watch the ones that I lose, and those are the ones that I'm always paying attention to, watching my bad habits that I do. And, yeah, sometimes I'll check out other fighters that are really good at certain things. I try to mimic them in my head so that when I go train, I try to pull out some things that they do. And, yeah, it's something I've always done. I don't think the COVID really changed that for me just because I had more time. I mean, but something I've always done.
And now you got Mandel here, come up here next Thursday here at Bellator 249. What's your thoughts on him as an opponent? What do you see from him on film that you look at and say, man, he does this really well?
He's obviously a good striker. You know what I mean? And he, I think one thing he does very well is he controls the pace of the fight without throwing much. Uh-huh. And he does it with his body language. He does it with his size. He stands where he can hit you, you can't hit him. But all the guys he's fought have been guys with shorter reach, guys that are a lot smaller than him. I believe my size, I'm a pretty big 55-pounder. I have pretty long reach. I think our sizes are almost the same. He's a little bit skinnier than me, a little bit taller than me. So I think he's going to have
trouble trying to get in his zone where he can control the pace of the fight. Fighting someone else that likes to control the pace of the fight, I like to, you know, control kind of a higher pace. He's more methodical and he kind of moves a little bit slower. He's in and out. He's fast when he's in and out. He's fast with his jab, you know, but he throws when he likes to throw, and he likes to get you to throw as well so he can counter. So, I mean, I broke him down a lot. Seen a lot of things that he does really well. I've seen things that he does really bad. So I think stylistically it makes for a great fight for the fans, and I think it makes a great fight for myself as well.
Were you familiar with him before getting this fight?
I heard his name. I saw him fight once. I want to say we fought on the same card. I'm not sure. But I think I remember seeing him fight. I'm not sure if we were on the same card or not. But I think I've seen him fight before. And once they gave me his name, I went back and I saw that he fought a couple of times in Bellator. So I went back and watched those fights as well. And he's a decent striker, you know, and I think it's going to be a good fight.
You mentioned about kind of his striking abilities. Do you feel like you're going to be the guy that pushes a pace on him that maybe other opponents just haven't been able to do it? Like, is there something you've seen technically that you're like, okay, his previous opponents didn't do this, and this is how I can do it? Is that kind of the mindset?
Yeah. There's guys that have certain fighting styles that that they're able to control the pace of the fight just based on, you know, their movement, the way they control the ring, and it sucks guys into fighting their pace of the fight, because when someone's constantly coming forward, you constantly want to circle so you can try to set up your punch or your kick or whatever you're trying to do. And he's very good at getting in your face, but making you throw when you don't want to throw. And I've never really been a guy to kind of back up and start circling, you know? So, I did it in my last fight. That's just because I was fighting Paul Daly and I was like, fuck, I got to come up with a game plan as quick as possible and not brawl with him like I usually like to do, or try to go punch for punch with him. So, but this fight, I'm going to get back to my roots, how I know how to fight. And I don't fight on my heels, and he makes guys fight on their heels. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen when both of us try to go forward.
Do you at all feel like you have a chip on your shoulder heading this one after, you know, what's happened in the past couple of fights?
Do I think I have a chip on my shoulder?
Yeah, just in terms of, you know, hey, man, you know, people are counting me out, you know, and, you know, kind of using that as motivation.
In my head, I don't think anybody ever counts me out. I think, you know, like my last fight, I think I got counted out for sure. And, you know, there's a reason I went up weight class fighting a guy that likes to brawl and hits a lot harder than I hit. So I know I was getting counted out that one, but I mean, fine at lightweight, whether I'm counted out or not, I think I'm still going to go fight the way I like to fight. I never hold back. I never try to sit there and try to squeak out a little, you know, a decision, or try to, you know, be cautious on not throwing because I don't want this to happen or that to happen. I never really have that in my head. So, you know, being coming off, you know, some losses, I am going to go out there and I'm going to obviously try to go for the finish. So I want to leave it to the judges and lose some bullshit decision, you know. So I'm going to come with that heat, you know.
What do you think it's going to be like fighting in an arena with no fans?
I think it's going to be cool, to be honest. I think I'll be able to listen to my thoughts a little bit more, you know, and put together combos a little bit more, you know, versus just going out there and kind of biting down and throwing and chucking them and, you know, may the best man win like I do sometimes. So I think, you know, being quiet, I'm not going to have the crowd, you know, egging me on to throw when I don't need to throw. And I think it'll be good.
And there was my conversation with Syed Awad. I appreciate Syed giving me some time to talk about his matchup coming up here on Thursday night in the opening bout of the main card against Mandel Nello. I would say this. The one thing I'll never forget about Syed Awad was when he was fighting David Rickles here in Tampa in the Bellator. I want to say it was a lightweight tournament final. And all of his family and friends were directly behind Media Row. And it's one of those memories, just kind of, you know, showing their support. It was one of those memories I remember about Syed. Syed's one of my favorite guys. I always love talking to him. Always kind of, you know, I feel like, yeah, I learned something more and more about Syed every time I do talk to him. Now, our final two interviews are with two fighters who are going to be fighting each other on the preliminary card. And up first, you're going to hear the conversation I had with Kyle Crutchmere. Of course, we all know Kyle, 6-0 in his career. He's coming to the Bellator, highly touted prospect, especially because of his collegiate wrestling credentials that he had there at Oklahoma State. Of course, now training at American Kickboxing Academy in San Jose. So I talked to him here about this matchup against Cameron Lachinoff. We talked about a range of topics. We talked about how he has a newborn child, but he is away from his newborn child as he's been preparing for this fight. And he talked about his legacy and representing his family. He talks about training with Khabib. And he also definitely does take a little... he obviously has seen a lot of the interviews that Cameron Lachinoffis does. And he definitely... it's become a little bit of motivation here. So here's my conversation with Kyle Crutchmere. Kyle, appreciate you taking some time out of your training schedule to talk to me. Obviously, this year has been a hectic year for all of us, no matter what you do. But you as a fighter, how would you describe the last 6 months or so for how this year has gone for you?
Man, I'm one of the lucky ones. I've had a newborn. I had a baby this year, right in the midst of everything. So for me, man, it's been... it's been more of a blessing. 2020's been very good to me. You know, I'm a father now. I actually got to fight before the pandemic. I get to fight during the pandemic. So, I'm making money and I'm still doing what I love and I'm still training. And, I haven't lost any family members or anything like that. So, I mean, I really can't complain, my man.
With being a father now and obviously the daily work that you want to get in inside the gym to evolve your skills, how are you finding balance and getting everything done in the day?
Man, it's crazy. My girlfriend lives in Dallas. So my baby lives in Dallas. I live in San Jose. So I was with them for the first 2 months. And then ever since I've been off and on, flying back and forth. But you know, I have a very supportive girlfriend, and so I'm able to train out here. I haven't seen her, actually, my daughter, in 6 weeks. So, and I'm not going to see her until after the fight. So, I mean, it's been challenging, man. It hurts. It makes you train a lot harder. It gives you incentive to be able to accomplish more and not waste their time. So, for me, man, if It's been challenging, I'm going to be honest with you, but I love it. I love being a father. I'm one of those guys that, you know, are very into that kind of stuff. So after my fight, man, I'm going to go straight home and take some time off and be a daddy.
You had a post back on September 5th on Instagram where you said, competing for my legacy, representing my family. What do you want your legacy to be?
Man, I just want to be, you know, known as someone who, you know, people that are around me know that I work really hard. You know, my family, we've had a bunch of really good athletes, but we've never really broke to that next level. And I think it's just kind of, it's my job and an opportunity for me to put our name and kind of the spotlight a little bit and represent everybody that, you know, has helped me out. My family and I are very close. I'm actually one of the lucky ones with that as well. You know, I've had a good upbringing. I've had a caring family. They've always worked really hard. They've always loved us. They've always put us in, you know, athletics and never missed. So, you know, I'm just trying to give back, man. I'm trying to give back to them and do what I do. And, my legacy, man, is more for my family than myself. I hope that at the end of this, that my family will be proud of me and they can see that, you know, I represented us well.
You had another post a couple days before that post where you're talking about getting some live rounds with Khabib. And obviously everyone knows his, you know, I think pretty much most people would say, you know, greatest pound for pound fighter walking around right now. When you have a chance to go live rounds with him, what sticks out to you about him? Is it his preparation? Is it something of just how he conducts himself on a day in, day out basis as a fighter? What's like your biggest takeaway from him and what has rubbed off on you?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously one of the best ever, if not the best ever so far. He works really hard. You can tell there's something a little bit different about him because he doesn't fight for money. He fights for, you know, legacy and things like that. And, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too much on Khabib, but he does a lot, man. He's a well-rounded guy. He's a great guy to be around. And I'm blessed to be a part of the American Kickboxing Academy, where we've had a lot more than, you know, just Khabib. We've had Daniel Cormier and guys like that that have also shown me the way. So, yeah, man, it's been good. I'm glad I get to train with guys like that of that caliber, and it's only made me better. So,
I had a chance to speak to your opponent the other day, and you know, I think probably my biggest takeaway from him was he was like, "Look, you know, we both have a strong wrestling base, you know, and we'll see how it goes. You know, whether maybe it ends up being a fight that just plays out on the feet, or maybe it's a fight to see who's going to have the stronger wrestling abilities." What's your take on Cameron and how you see this fight going down?
His wrestling's nowhere near mine. I can tell you that much. I wrestled for 16 years. I was a part of the best college wrestling program ever. I've learned techniques that he doesn't know. And the only reason why I'm saying things like this is because I saw an interview from what he was saying, that said he was going to finish me. So, and he said something about his wrestling. His wrestling is not really that great, to be totally honest with you. I'll dictate everywhere this fight goes. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a completely different fighter now. I've had a lot of success this camp. I have great coaches. I have great teammates that are always pushing me and things like that. So I don't see where he's going to be able to dictate this fight. My striking's gotten a whole lot better. My wrestling is evolving into MMA wrestling. I grapple with one of the best probably coaches that you can grapple with in the world. So I think he's going to be in for a little bit of an awakening with this. So,
did this additional time allow you to kind of offer more evaluation yourself than normal you had? And because you kind of, the way you were talking about there is like, hey, you're going to see a different Kyle than you saw back in February. Was this additional time a big factor in that?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think where it came from is I haven't been doing this very long. And a lot of people don't realize that. I've only been doing this for 2.5 years, and I've had 7 fights. In my first couple of fights, I was just going out and wrestling guys. Like, that's how I think people forget. That's how superior, you know, a Division I wrestler, you know, that did well in college is to people. So when you start adding the things that come along with MMA, with that wrestling, I just think that's the reason why you see so many world champs. It takes time to develop those things. And I'm just now scratching the surface. I really believe that people are going to see something different here, because I'm actually becoming an MMA fighter. And I saw something he said yesterday about, you know, everybody can wrestle until they get punched in the face. But, like, I get punched in the face 3 times a week.
Yeah.
That's not a thing to me. He's not going to hit me harder than some of my teammates. So I think people will realize, you know, you'll just be able to see the work that I put in now. And you'll be able to see the work of someone who's becoming that well-rounded MMA fighter, who's very coachable, who does the things that his coach is asking him to do. And I think that's what you're going to see. I just think it's been 3 years. I think it's time for me to kind of start showcasing what I have.
Do you believe people underestimate what you can do on the feet?
No, I don't think they underestimate. I just think they haven't been able to see it yet.
Okay.
And I think, I'll always be a wrestler. I'll always wrestle. I'll always take guys down whenever I want. But it's time for me to start knocking dudes out too. So I think people are going to see that more and more as we get into this, as we go longer. I'm hitting harder than I've ever hit. I'm faster than I've ever been. Mentally, I'm more sharp than I've ever been. So I think this is just the best form of me right now than I've ever been. And, you know, we're still swinging 4-ounce gloves, so
anything can happen, but I'm definitely limiting those chances.
And there you have my conversation with Kyle Krushmere. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup here against Cameron Lachinov. Of course, Cameron, who was 2-2, and now he has rolled off 7 wins in a row. I had a chance to speak with Cameron about this matchup. I actually talked to Cameron before I talked to Kyle. And, you know, really interesting conversation that I had with him, just kind of talking about, you know, what this, you know, 7-fight winning streak has been like for him. And obviously, as a Northeast fighter, it has been a tough 6 to 8 months because of the lack of shows up there. So, you know, here's my conversation with Cameron as he talks about the matchup. And one of the key points in this conversation, as he talked about, is that he knows he needs to focus on the game plan. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that's going to be a part of Bellator 249 coming up October the 15th. Of course, an event that you can watch live on the CBS Sports Network. Cameron, appreciate the time. A couple weeks here out from the fight, 2 weeks out here from the fight, man. And, you know, so first off, how long have you known about this matchup?
I want to say 2 weeks now. So it was like I get an offer on September. Are we in October right now? Yeah, September 16th or something, or 15th, somewhere around there. So it was like almost a month away. You know, I talked to my coaches and my manager, Tyson, and Marco Alvin, and all them. I didn't think a second. I gave a green light. I said, yeah, let's get busy. I mean, I've been frustrated sitting at home and not doing anything. I was trying to get back on track, you know, back to the gym. You know, I want to say it's been a good 4 or 5 months that we haven't had any kind of action in the state. And just thank God Mohegan Sun opened up, so the Bellator came by.
So when I say the date, June 1st, 2019.
That's my last.
That's your last fight. Decision winning against Billy there, reality fighting. Like, as you think about, what we're talking, you know, 15 months ago now, it has been like, as you think about, you know, I guess obviously it's easy to kind of look at the negative aspect of like, man, I haven't been able to get back in there. You know, obviously that's what you want to do. But as you look at the positive aspects of how you've grown as a fighter, what's the biggest difference we will see from you here in 2 weeks as opposed to when we saw you in June of last year?
I would say to focus on a game plan more and get distracted and do other things during the fight, focus on coaches and focus on a game plan. That was the biggest thing. With Billy, I think it was the first round or second round. I'm not too sure, either first or second round. I broke my thumb. So as much as coaches wanted me to bring him to the ground and hold him there and try to go for submission and ground pound, thing because I didn't have a grip. It was my right thumb, so it had broken. It was broken. I thought it was popped first, but then we got an x-ray. It was a crashed, actually. I had like a couple of bones crashed in there. So I kind of went off the game plan. So I tried to stand up and use my left, I think, if I'm not wrong. I broke both my thumbs, so I'm trying to think which one was broken. But yeah, that's the biggest thing, I think, probably kind of listen to my coaches and my corner more and focus on the game plan.
Has that been an issue before where you just like after a fact, you're like, man, I just didn't listen to my coaches enough?
Yeah. My very first fight, Eric Spicely. We knew he was a great grappler. The game plan was to stand up and just go at it, and just didn't work. You know, I rocked him in the first round. I believe it was my very first pro fight. I rocked him in the first round, and he tried to grapple. And then second and third round, all we did is lay and pray.
You know, I had that was one of the things I wrote down about is the fact of you're 2-2 to start your career, and now you've rolled off 7 in a row. Yeah. Is there anything that you point to in terms of what went wrong into those first 4 fights and what you did to correct things? Or is it just like, you know what? I just, it just kind of, I got experience, I got more time in the cage, and I kind of got a feel for what I need to do inside on fight night.
Definitely the experience was a big, big reason, experience, and listening to the coaches and focusing on a game plan. I was, before, maybe I was more like, oh, the game plan is not really working, even though we're maybe like 50 seconds into the fight or maybe 1 minute. And I would just go at my old Cameron style and try to fight my life out there. And you know, if you don't focus to the game plan and stick to the game plan, it's just not going to last. And I think after a transaction that I did with coaches, and we talked, sit down and talk, we said, hey, you know, it's a big deal. It's a kind of a moment where you go either 3-2 or 2-3, and the most fighters stop fighting because they have a bad record. For me, it was just, I just love fighting. For me, I don't do neither for money, obviously, nor for because, oh, I'm, you know, I'm the best, this and that. I want to be the best. I want to get the belt, but I just love the sport. It takes my mind away. It takes all my stress away at the end of the day. I love it.
I know I was told about you have a newborn child. Is that pretty much what gets your mind off the fight game when you go home? And, you know, because fighters always talk about you want to have an escape of like just kind of forget about, you know, maybe you had a bad day at the gym. Maybe one of your sparring partners that day, he just got the best of you. And yeah. You know, you try to get your mind off. Is it your child that ultimately kind of,
please,
you know, makes you forget about what happened in the gym that day?
Makes me forget everything, actually. The 24/7 keeps it positive, even the days that he pees on me and stuff. It's all good. Yeah, definitely. The child, at the end of the day, when coming and knowing he's there, you know, just cuddling him or playing with him, it just makes my day. That's the best part of the day now.
And you mentioned how much you love fighting. You got a big matchup come up here at Bellator against Kyle Crutchmere. I think pretty much everyone knows Kyle's abilities and what he can do. Is there something that when you watch him fight that he does really well that maybe the common fan may not recognize?
No comments. I don't know. No comments. I may see something. I may not.
I get you. You keep it close to the vest. I get you, man. I get you. Like, but like, as you think about him as an opponent and what, I mean, cause I know fighters always say, this is about what I need to do. You know, I have an understanding of what he does well. What do you feel like to name a key to victory? What would it be?
He wrestles pretty well. That's what he does. I mean, we all know he has a background, wrestling background. So we know that, you know, he does a lot of wrestling. So for me, I came from the same background. I wrestle a lot. So I hope it won't be a boring fight. You know, I always look into a fight that fans will like it, and, you know, the stand up brawl. And, you know, I personally think wrestling, when it's a good scrap, wrestling is even more fun than boxing. It just got to be more active, you know, grappling and everything included instead of lay and pray kind of a thing. But yeah, we'll see.
It's kind of, it would seem like one of those fights, because of both of you having that wrestling abilities, that it's a fight that plays out on the feet.
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of, in a way, you kind of hope that, because that's ultimately what, I mean, promoters are looking for, you know, they're looking for those flashy knockouts. I mean, is that all part of the mindset?
Always. I always look for a knockout, just bring it home, you know. But at the end of the day, whatever we need to do to get the W, you know, if I need to grapple him, I'm, you know, I got my Team Link behind me, the best gym around, Team Link BJJ. And, but I'm looking to, you know, I'm looking to wrestle him and overbox him.
In terms of when you think about your career as your most notable night, the finish of a fight that sticks out to you, is there one fight that in your mind you go, man, that's my favorite finish?
I don't know about the favorite finish. My leg locks, I like leg locks, but one of my the proud moment was I was fighting this guy from New Jersey, bigger, stronger guy. I wasn't at my best shape, and I think it was the 2-2 time where I go 2-3 or 3-2. I forgot his name. We fought at the Reality Fighting in Mohegan Sun also. I lost first round really bad to the point where, you know, I almost got the stoppage. You know, the ref was close to stop the fight. I just keep going at it. I just didn't want to stop. You know, for me, I have a mindset. I'd rather die than tap out, or I die than, you know, you either got to knock me out or put me to sleep to win the fight. And obviously, I don't like to leave it to judges' hands. It's just not a good way. But second round, I came back and I finished him. First round, I was very close two times to get, you know, finished. I couldn't handle, I don't know, it was not going. I was sticking to the game plan, but it wasn't going. Then second round, we came back and I finished it. That was, I think, 3 years ago now, and I finished the guy, and that was my proud moment. I said, you know, definitely keep going. Don't give up.
And of course, we're going to see the continue of your journey in mixed martial arts coming up here on October 15th. Bellator 249. Cameron, I really appreciate time. Good luck here in the matchup. And let everyone know they can find you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
No, just make sure everybody tune in to the Bellator 249. Or you guys will see some fireworks.
And there was my conversation with Cameron Lachinoff. I appreciate him taking some time out of his day to talk to me about his matchup, as I did that interview about, I guess, about a week ago at this point now. And, of course, that interview was done in video form. It is up on the MMA Report YouTube channel if you do want to see his facial reactions to some of the things that we were talking about there. And, of course, the other interviews were all done via the phone with Joe Schilling, Syed Awad, and Kyle Crutchmere. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, looking forward to this fight card coming here on Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time start for the main card on the CBS Sports Network. Of course, Bellator going to Thursday nights, which to me is kind of a little bit of an odd decision, just kind of the way I look at it. You know, just a decision that was a little surprising to me. But overall, I mean, look, it's a good fight card coming up here on Thursday night. Obviously, all the attention is going to be about the main event, Chris Cyborg and Arlene Blanco. You know, it'll be kind of interesting to kind of see how does Arlene Blanco, you know, what will be her strategy to attempt to dethrone Chris Cyborg here. I would imagine that if Chris wins on Thursday night, that it would make sense that her next fight would be against Kat Zingano, but time will tell there. And then, of course, you know, the co-main event, Patricky Pitbull taking on Jaleel Willis. You know, the lightweight division, it's, you know, I guess kind of in a way, you've got some uncertainty there with, obviously, Patricky's brother Patricio is a champion. But, you know, he's obviously going through the featherweight Grand Prix at this current moment. So that's kind of put this lightweight division on hold. Of course, Michael Chandler no longer part of this division. And I know Patricky's been very big on the fact of he thinks that they should do a lightweight Grand Prix, which I think definitely makes all the sense in the world. You got to kind of wonder if Patricky Pitbull win here, maybe does that mean they try to line up Patricky Pitbull versus Brent Primus? That to me would be a fight that would make a lot of sense. But look, you cannot count out Jaleel Willis. Jaleel Willis is a great signing by Bellator, an excellent signing by Bellator. As I've mentioned previously, I really like what Bellator's doing in terms of their free agent signings. Jaleel Willis was a very excellent signing. Bandejas Higo should be a really good fight. You know, I would expect that's a fight I think will probably play out on the feet there. So that should be a really good matchup between those two guys. You heard Awad talk about his matchup against, you know, Mandel Nello, a fight that I think will definitely play on the feet. You know, I would not expect that's a fight that plays out on the ground. And then, of course, on the preliminary card, which will be a part of, will be air on the Bellator's YouTube channel, also on DAZN, Millender showing, that should just be a banger of a fight. That should be a fun, entertaining fight to watch. Steve Maurer against Sean T, that's an interesting matchup there in the heavyweight division. You've got Andrew Capel taking on Josh Krier. Kyle Crushberg against Cameron Lachinoff. Christian Edwards against Hamzat Salim. Mike Kimball versus Damon Blackshear. Aviz Gozeli versus Logan Neal. And Alberto Gonzalez versus Castroy Zima. I will tell you this. I mentioned a little earlier, trying to line up an interview with Logan Neal. And he's 1-0 in his career coming out of that Tennessee regional scene. And, you know, he is a guy that, I mean, look, he's going to have to stay off the ground with Gazzali. He's going to have to keep that fire in the feet. That's going to be the key there. You know, Mike Kimble obviously is a guy that made a great start to his pro career with those quick wins. But, you know, obviously he's hit some stumbling blocks here recently. He is coming off a win. So, you know, taking on Damon Blackshear, who's got 10 professional fights. But overall, should be a really good fight card coming up here on Thursday night. Of course, on Wednesday, Daniel Galvan will join me for the next edition of the MMA Report podcast. We'll talk about everything that happened this past weekend, plus get you ready for this weekend's MMA. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast. I do want to thank Zayedawa, Joe Schilling, Kyle Crushmer, and Cameron Lashinoff all coming on this edition of the podcast. Of course, you can always get this podcast on RadioInfluence.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Drevin says, when Dan Quinn is fired, who in your opinion would be a good replacement? Look, there are a number of guys that would be good fits. I'm not ready to publicly start talking about that. I'm not real comfortable doing it, but there are some really good folks that I think would be good fits. The availability, interest level. First of all, there are bigger decisions to be made in Atlanta. Do you stay with the front office structure? I mean, I think Rich McKay is there because of his league involvement, and he's somebody that just is a right-hand guy, a team president type of role for Arthur Blank. But what do you do with Tommy Dimitroff? I mean, he's been involved in two of these coaching hires, and they've not worked. Does he get involved in a third one? Do you let Rich become more involved in the process? Do you hire a general manager and let them be involved? Or do you open up the potential for a head coach by giving some freedom of control to where he can hire his own personnel guy? You got to evaluate, what do you think of your personnel department? Where do you think they've gone wrong? Got to look at all that. Got to evaluate all that. Got to make. So I think that there's a bunch of different folks that would or would not be good fits depending upon what they do in the front office.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.